Good morning, everyone. This morning I will be bringing you the Bible reading, which is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise for spiritual blessings in Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put in effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory.
Let's pray before we turn our attention to God's word this morning. Let's pray. Father, we have just sung ancient words, ever true. Father, we've sung that give us open hearts and minds, that your word can challenge us and change us and transform us. So, Father, I pray for this time now that you would, through the power and the presence of your Spirit, give us hearts and minds that are attuned to your word. Speak to us, Father, this morning. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to be starting a series through Ephesians, which will take us right up to the end of June, 11, 12 weeks. As I was reading through the preparing for this, I came across something where someone noted that John Calvin preached through Ephesians. He did it in 48 weeks. So I don't think for a moment that I'm doing a better compressed version. It's just this is where we're going for the next few weeks as we work our way through the book of Ephesians. Last year we started a process of looking at our vision and our mission and our purpose, and part of that we did a bit of an audit on our ministries. And we saw how that aligned with our current vision statement of a people that worship, love, serve and discover Jesus together. But there's an important component of our vision statement that says we are a community of people. And unless we address the issue of what is community, I think we will fail to really understand who we are and what we are called to do. As I was reading this week, I came across something, and this guy was saying that he's really confused about what community is. And it seems to be a bit of a catch cry today, you know, this community, that community, and so on and so forth. And he made this comment that when he was doing the shopping, he came across a packet of salad. And on the back it said, "You can follow me on Facebook. Join the community." You know, lettuce even has its own community. Yeah, I kind of thought, yeah, I get that. That kind of like touched my sense of humour too. So I think it's really important. You know, Are we just a community like a bowl of salad, or are we shaped up a little different with a different purpose? Either go rotten or get eaten. That's kind of like the future for salad, isn't it? I don't think either of those sound good, and I'm certain it's not what God has in store for us. I just want to quote some words from John Stott. If you haven't noticed, he's kind of one of my favourite authors. There's a few there, but Stott usually says things well, and he has a wealth of experience, and his passion was for the kingdom of God. He writes these words. I'm assuming that we are all committed to the church. We're not only Christian people, we are also church people. We're not only committed to Christ, we're also committed to the body of Christ. At least, I hope so. I trust that none of my readers is that grotesque anomaly, an unchurched Christian. The New Testament knows nothing of such a person, for the church lies at the very centre of the central purpose and eternal purpose of God. It is not a divine afterthought. It is not an ancient, it is not an accident of history. On the contrary, the church is God's new community. For his purpose, conceived in a past eternity, being worked out in history, and to be perfected in a future eternity. It's not just to save isolated individuals, so to perpetuate our loneliness, but rather to build his church, that is, to call out of the world a people for his own glory. I don't know whether they're kind of like stunning words for you, but Stott frames it up well. The church is something that God conceived, God intended, and God has a purpose for as we work together in community. And as Stott calls it, the church is God's new community. As we work our way through Ephesians, I hope that it reveals to us some of these key elements of what Christian community looks like. And at points we'll go, yeah, that's good. We've kind of got that part of it. And there may be points where we go, we could do a whole lot better, or maybe we might even be missing some aspects. I think it's important that as we consider what church community looks like, that we don't take our guide from the world, that we don't take our community standards from world standards, that we don't have a community that is just simply needs-based to satisfy me or you. Furthermore, as we continue to worship, to grow, to love and discover Jesus together, it's my hope and my prayer that this community, that we function and that we adopt and are strengthened by God's power through us in the presence of his Spirit. We are a unique community shaped by God's intentions and shaped by God's purposes for his people. One commentator writes, more than any other book in the Bible, Ephesians displays the great purpose and plan of God for the church. The writer, that is Paul, the writer never loses sight of the goal to present the purpose and plan of God clearly so as to motivate the church to live in a way that will forward the purpose, God's purpose, on earth. Another author commented, when the church is faithful to its calling, Christ comes to full stature in his present earthly body. When the church is not faithful, the world's view of Christ is distorted, the church is weakened, and the Lord is dishonoured. So I trust as we work our way through Ephesians, some key elements, as I said before, will become apparent to us, that we will be open to the voice and the leading of God's Holy Spirit, that we will continue to remain in Christ, and all we do and say will be to the praise and the glory of our Heavenly Father. Can you say amen to that? I hope so. Well, let's get started, shall we? Let's get started. verse 1. We're going to work through it in a few verses at a time. Verse 1 and 2. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I'm writing to God's holy people in Ephesus who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. May our God and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Paul starts off by a clear statement of who he is and what he is doing. And I think as we come to any portion of Scripture, any part of Scripture, we need to understand this is God's Word speaking to us. This is not Paul out on a whim saying, I think, or maybe this. God, Paul identifies himself as chosen by God. God chose him for a purpose. God anointed him in a way, filled him with his Spirit, and said, this is what I need you to do. There are some places in Corinthians and maybe other places, Paul actually says, these things are not from the Lord, but I think they're good ideas. Okay? So Paul identifies that. But here Paul is saying, Paul, chosen by God, an apostle of Christ Jesus. Paul has been appointed by God as one who can speak on Christ's behalf. So as he frames this letter up to the church in Ephesus, these are God's words spoken or written through Paul on behalf of God and Christ Jesus. And then he identifies the people to whom he is writing. And this is important too. So not only is this message clearly from God, but it's written to God's people. He says, I'm writing to God's holy people. Some versions have saints in Ephesus who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. The recipients are saints. They are holy people. People chosen, set apart by God. And we'll kind of like get a bit of a picture for that in these first few verses of the letter. Make no mistake, Paul is writing these things to God's people. Because it's only God's people that will have the understanding and the capacity to understand and to know these things. He writes to them and he says they are faithful. Faithful in an active sense, not faithful as in having just come to Jesus and acknowledged Jesus and then just sitting down and resting in their faith. The way that Paul writes this, the construction, I'm no Greek scholar, but it seems evident in all the stuff that I've been reading recently on this, they say that don't be tricked into thinking that faith is something that is passive. As Paul writes this, he writes this to people who are chosen by God, God's people, that are active and faithful in their call that God has placed on their life. In Christ. In Christ. Or of Christ. Chosen by God, faithful to the call that they've placed, and they are in Christ. They remain in Christ. They keep their eyes, their hearts, their minds attuned to the things of Christ. So not only is there this unity between me and Jesus or between you and Jesus in our faith, but it also has that sense of a collegiality. For I am a brother and you are a sister of one another for those in Christ. A community is being born by God's choice through faith in Jesus and a unity that we share. Does that make sense? It's pretty simple. But it's important. And Paul writes this and he imprints this on the recipients of this letter very clearly and firmly as he starts to write to them. And just as Paul's words were appropriate and correct for that time and for that people, so too it is for us today. Nothing has changed. Ancient words, ever true. Ever true. And then Paul starts in his words of blessing and praise of God. Picking up in verse 3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. God has blessed us in an unlimited way. It doesn't say with some or partly. with every spiritual blessing God has poured out freely on his people. Not just in part at the beginning, with more to come later. There is a sense where there is a completeness about what God is doing. Every spiritual blessing has been poured out because we are united with Christ. And it is the reason of what God has done through Christ for us that demands our praise and worship of him. He's blessed us. He has given us a unity with Christ. That sense of spiritual blessing starts to have that sense of the Holy Spirit coming forward and blessing our lives. And we get that towards the end of the passage that we're looking at this morning. It has that sense of it's not just for material blessing. We kind of get that a lot in the Old Testament where we give you a land and do this and do that. This new covenant, this what God is doing in Christ, is a spiritual thing with unlimited margins to it. And the result of that gift of God, demands all praise to our Heavenly Father. Oh no, that's who we are. That's something we need to do as the community of God. Even before, picking it up in verse 4, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. He chose us with a purpose in mind. Even before the world was begun, before anything happened, God in his mind, and we see why he does it in the next few verses, but he did this because he loved. Now, I don't know about you. In fact, I reckon I could guarantee this. Somewhere in your home or in your shed, there might be a box, a bottle, a drawer, a bag or something that has just got a strange little collection of stuff in it. Is that true? Yeah? Now, I got a lot of bits and pieces from my father when he passed away. And in one of the toolboxes, when I opened it up, there was a matchbox. I was excited. What's in the matchbox? I opened the matchbox up. There were two brass screws, a button, and a 1 cent piece. I just don't get it. Now, a little while ago, I told you, I'll take it to the shed later, is a euphemism for you'll never see this again, it'll go in the bin, right? Also, there's a lot of things in my shed that I've said, oh, that's great. Isn't that wonderful? I'll use that later. Have you got any use it later bits? Come on. I know Leslie's got quite a lot of bits of material. I'll use that later. It's too good to use now. I'll use it later. When we lived on the farm for nearly 20 years, I had an amazing collection of treasure. And overnight, when we had to shift, it turned into junk. I tell you. God makes choices and God collects. And he doesn't leave it in the drawer and forget about it. He doesn't take it to the shed and think, one day. God chose and he had a purpose in mind. And we see in this passage, he is determined, absolutely determined, to make that purpose and process come to fruition. Isn't that good? So he's not like us. He chooses and he has a plan in mind that he has fulfillment to. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family. This is verse 5. Bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do. It gave him great pleasure. So we start to get a bit of an idea of what God is doing as he draws his people together and makes a community for himself to praise and glory him. But he does it, he chooses of his own free will, his own volition, doesn't change his mind. And we see here in this verse that he did this in advance that we might be adopted into his own family. Now this sense of adoption has a very strong connotation to it. When you were adopted in this Greco-Roman world, it didn't just mean that you got a home and somewhere to sleep, not like everyone has got somewhere to sleep at the moment. I'm worried about that, Dawn. I really am. But he's saying here that he's got a plan and he's drawing us into his family with full and complete sonship or daughtership. We are adopted. This was God's choice. This was God's plan. Not just to partner with us, but to draw us into his family. Adopted with full rights and full privileges as a true son. It's a pretty amazing group God's bringing together, isn't it? It's a pretty amazing group. And he did this all because it was his will and it brought him great pleasure. Great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. Paul is laying out here that God is the one that has poured out this unlimited spiritual blessing. Paul has clearly made it was God's choice. The choice was to draw us into his family. And here in this verse, Paul makes it clear the equation that took place in order for this to happen. He's so rich, he's so good. Freedom with the blood of his Son. We've just come to the cross. We've journeyed to the cross over Easter. A journey which entailed suffering, obedience, surrender, and so on. And it continues as we journey with God. In Christ, we have been drawn in to God's family. God made a choice before the world began to adopt us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that we might bring praise and glory to his name, that we might have a relationship with him, that we might have a relationship with one another. Verse 8. He showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. Through Christ and through scriptures, he continues to reveal his plan to us. He makes things known to us that we might understand the nature of our blessing and that we might understand the source of our life. He doesn't hide things from us. He is continually showering us and allowing us to understand and know him more and more. We see that again at the end of this passage where the deposit of the Holy Spirit, the one who actually speaks with us and journeys with us and reveals things to us. In John's Gospel, one of the primary works of the Holy Spirit is to be a help in remembering the things that Jesus taught and said. So we shouldn't be surprised that Paul is saying that not only does God choose us, not only does God draw us into his family, and he made this plan from the beginning, makes it clear that it was through Christ, but he continues to reveal things to us and grow us in that family relationship. And we see how those things have been revealed to us in the next verse, picking it up in verse 9. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ. It's already mentioned previously that it's through the blood of Christ he draws us into a relationship of adoption. So he says, God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Can I have that glass of water, Leslie? Sorry about that. He's revealed his plan. I've already mentioned that. And part of his plan not only is to save us and to adopt us, but there is a future blessing of drawing us together as a unity. As a community, we have a past in God's choice, in God's will. As a community, we have a present in God's will as He continues to journey with us. And we'll see that at the end of the passage this morning. And we have a future. Those things in the shed or those things in your bottom drawer don't have much future and probably don't have much present concern. Really. I look at some of the things and I go, why did I bother collecting them? One time when we were at the beach, one of our kids, I can't remember who, and I forgot to ask Leslie because she'll remember, they kind of like picked along and picked this up off the beach and picked that up off the beach and picked that up off the beach and in their little plastic bucket. And then it went in the back of the van. It wasn't very long before something stunk. It got home and it still stunk. And sometime later, I think it tipped it over in the shed and it still stunk. You know, this collection that one of the kids made, it was really good and it kind of had a moment's worth. It didn't have much future attached to it. None whatsoever. Again, Paul makes it clear. God is choosing. God is planning. God is giving provision, not just in the past, not just in the present, but for the future. That collection of stuff just got tossed out. We're never going to be just tossed out. We are always going to remain important to God. I don't know about you, but that makes me feel pretty good. Not because I've done anything, but because what God is doing for me. Future. Verse 11. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For He chose us in advance and He makes everything work out according to His plan. Nothing's left to chance. Nothing is left to chance. Everything working out according to God's plan. We have received an inheritance from God, for He chose us in advance, and the inheritance that He has in store for us will never break, will never rot, will never stink, will never get forgotten, because God will make sure that it comes to fruition. Everything in God's plan takes place. Verse 12, God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, He identified you as His own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom He promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that He will give us the inheritance He promised and that He purchased us to be His own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify Him. We are God's possession. We are God's people. Chosen by God, called by God, kept by God, infilled by God. There is nothing about us which doesn't have the word or print or something by God on it. Paul makes this clear in this passage. His own saints in verse 1. God's chosen people. Verse 11 and 12. The inheritance of God. We are God's people. And in verse 14, His own people. He gives us His Holy Spirit to stamp on us a deposit which says, "You are mine." God's people depend on God. We need to depend on God. God is the one that provides. God is the one that has chosen. God is the one that has the plan. God is the one that has the purposes in store for us. Should be a big thing that says on the road as we're walking along, step off this line at your own risk. We step outside of God's plan and intention for our lives. It's risky business. As God's people, as God's community, we need to depend on Him. We're not going to go into these this morning, but as we work our way through the letter, we'll see more and more how we are God's chosen people. We are His possession, and we must fully depend on Him. And as God's community, God's people, we live to bring glory to God. He did this so we would praise and glorify Him. Just a few words about that before we finish up this morning. We gather, we sing songs of praise and worship and honor to God. That's glorifying God. That's glorifying God in the company of brothers and sisters. But there's a connotation to what God is doing and has done in our life and continues to do in our life that we need to be bringing glory to Him, not only here on a Sunday morning, but our whole life long. What we do, what we say, where we go. How we draw other folk into God's kingdom as we share the glory and praise that God's given us and saying, God has saved me, God has redeemed me. Whatever that looks like, never missing an opportunity that God brings our way. Just short things that we can say. Thank God for this day. When we're with non-Christian folk, that we draw attention to God and we acknowledge what God is doing in our life. Now, I can't prescribe that because that's going to be led by your own personality and by what God is doing in that moment with you. But we need to be attentive to what God is doing and saying and calling us to do. And then as we represent and reflect, there's one of those quotes that I said earlier about the body of Christ being obedient and faithful, reflecting the church. The very nature of the church brings glory to God. The love that we have for one another, the choices that we make as a community, the things that we stand for and the things that we stand against reflect the nature of the God that has called us and chosen us. The op shop very clearly brings glory to God. Our youth ministry, our children's ministry, in a similar fashion, bring glory to God. God is at work in our midst. God is doing things through us and in us, despite us. You know? Church community is a community of people that are blessed by God, a people that are living in Christ and sealed by the Holy Spirit. This is God's community, and we are God's people. And over the next few weeks, I hope that we can be challenged, encouraged, and built up to truly be God's people here in this place, in this time. Up for that journey? I hope so. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks for this morning that we can gather. We give you thanks, Father, that you have chosen us and that you continue to journey with us. Thank you, Father, that you have an eternal plan for us to join us together in Christ and to infill us through the presence and the power of your Spirit. Father, help us to hear your voice and to be obedient, both individually and collectively, that we might truly be the new community, a community of God. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Stuart. I'll invite you to stand as one in Christ, as the people of God. Let's do it together.